Our Lord is really into refreshments. You're aware of that, right? Well, at least the church is, right? Let's see. What do we have over there? I see crackers and coffee and peanuts. And I know before there have been some breakfast rolls and other drinks. But you know, that's not really the kind of refreshment that I'm talking about. This kind of refreshment is what I'm talking about. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Our Lord is really into refreshments. Really is. The church kind of does refreshments, but the Lord is into them. You know, the context of this is the Apostle Peter, just after the church began. And he is preaching. He's preaching about trusting Jesus Christ with your life. He is preaching about changing your mind and changing your direction to really trust Jesus Christ with your life. That's what he's calling the people just shortly after the crucifixion of Christ to. Here, let me add the rest of this context. Now repent of your sins and turn to God into the wiping away of your sins so that times of refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord. This turning to Him over and over. Hey, how many times do we have to repent? Once, and are we done with that? It's kind of an ongoing thing. Did you notice that? Here is the initial one for these folks. Turn to the Lord. Turn away from what you're thinking and the way you're going. This thing that misses God's mark. This was the initial one. Here's the outcome. So the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And the rest of this matter goes like this. And that He may send Jesus Christ again. He may send Him again who was proclaimed to you. I want you to notice something here. There is a now in this. Like a now is the time. Now present that you're living in. Now, and there is a future to this. He may send Him again. To refreshment, there is this now. Built on the coming in the future. There is the now and the future. So let me ask this. What is refreshing to you? That was refreshing. What do you have? Oh, Alita takes a big draw on her soft drink. No, that's a staple. What is refreshing to you? Any takers on this? Uh-huh. Doug. Mountain air of Tennessee. A little bit thinner, but nice. Uh-huh. Taking a shower. Yeah, that is good. Uh-huh. A good night's sleep. There you go. Uh-huh. Ah, when appropriately baby oiled, right? Pardon me? Yeah, very good. Very good. There are some that are given biblically as well. I want you to hear a couple of these. I jotted them down. Some you mentioned here. Genesis 18. I will bring her a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart. Judges 19. Refresh your heart with a morsel of bread. Food. He's talking about here. You ever notice that? Sometimes during the course of the day, your eyes may get a little dim, and it brightens your eyes. That's what they talked about when the nation of Israel was in a campaign, and King Saul made them swear not to eat anything until they had accomplished this task. And they were weary and low. And then one took some honey, and it brightened his eyes. There is this refreshment that comes with food. I guess that's probably why we have those, right? Here. Also, Song of Solomon, refresh me with apples, it says. That's an interesting one. Rest, as was mentioned here by Leslie. In 6 days you shall do all your work, and you rest that you may be refreshed. Exodus 23:12. The Lord set it as a model, for in 6 days he did all his work, and he rested and was refreshed. The Lord was refreshed. Isn't that interesting? Now, how does God? He doesn't get weary. He doesn't get tired. Well, there is a thing to refreshment that is more than just not weary and tired. There is a change of focus, a new participation. Here, the Lord rested. Rest brings refreshment. Here's another very interesting one. It has encouraging or edifying words, bring refreshment. In Isaiah 28:11, the Lord will speak to the people, verse 12, to whom he said, "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshment." The Lord will speak to him. This is the rest. This is the refreshment. Problem in Isaiah 28, they didn't listen. They missed the refreshment. They missed the rest. Edifying words also bring refreshment and encouragement. Edifying words like those spoken from the Lord. Here's one. Action taken by another person in ministry. Yes, Philemon chapter 1, verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart. And he talks to Philemon about taking the action with Onesimus and with him. Action of ministry. Have joy from you in the Lord. And you refresh my heart. I'm trying to point out to you from Scripture that God is really into refreshments. Okay? He's really into this. Not only the granola bars and crackers and coffee, that's caffeine. Yeah, it is. What do they use energy drinks for anyway? What are they after with this? I don't do them. What are they after with this? What are we after? You're hiding them. Don't hide them. What are we after with this? Wake up, a shot, maybe we could call that a refreshment. Getting with people in genuine fellowship, not just cookies and punch, okay? That can be a refreshment, but genuine fellowship, usually red Kool-Aid, right? If it's the cookies and punch thing, red Kool-Aid. Listen to this, Romans 15:32, that I may come to you, getting with people, that I may come to you, with joy by the will of God, and we may be refreshed together, you with me, he said. Did you hear that? This is it. This is the surge of energy, enthusiasm. You know what enthusiasm, where that word is derived from? Enthusiasm, you know where that is derived from? It is derived from the word in God. Isn't that interesting? Refreshment. In, Greek word en is in, thu, theo, theos, thusiasm. Very interesting. There is refreshment here. You see, our language refreshes it or expresses it, this refreshment. Again, 2 Corinthians 7:13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your encouragement. We in your encouragement, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. There has been a derivement of energy and enthusiasm from you and the fellowship with you. And we're encouraged by this. Philemon 1:7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother Philemon. Do you see the sources here? Food, rest, things like we talked about, the word. Matter of fact, when they didn't get it, they missed the rest and the refreshment. Encouragement and ministry from other people. It brings the refreshment. God's really into refreshment. As a matter of fact, the classics of Scripture show how much He's into this in and of Himself. Here, look at this. How much the Lord is into refreshing. The Lord is my shepherd. This is a classic. The Lord is my shepherd. I bet this is such a classic that you know where it comes from, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. Where does this come from? Psalm. What psalm? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is what He does. He makes me to lie down and rest in a green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, the shower. Oh, the mountain air, Tennessee. Green pastures, still waters. He restores my soul. That word restores, I put in the Hebrew language for this, which means He pulls it together again. He puts it back together again. He restores, some translate it, refreshes my soul, my life. You buy this yet? That the Lord is really into refreshment? You buy this yet? This is the classic. This is the classic statement of it, Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. And it goes on. It goes on, and He talks about even in the hard things, the valley of the shadow of death, You're with me. Your rod, Your staff, Your leadership. This is comfort to me. This is encouragement. Hey, a table You set before me, the refreshment of food, it's there. You anoint my head with joy, this oil, in the presence of those who are opposed to me. God's into this. You notice? Hey, am I being unbiblical here? This is it. This is who He is. This is where He is at. This is the case. Hey, let me add this too. The Lord, Psalm 103, who satisfies you with good so your youth is renewed like the eagle. There's an energy drink that is more than you'll get from those. Those energy drinks can't restore your youth. Like an eagle, He said. You know the eagle, that's the symbol of our nation, you know, the bird, because of its power, its dignity, its strength, the way it takes off and the way it flies. Here's how He renews your strength. Get the picture. Like the eagle. It soars. He renews this, and when He talks about renewing your youth, He's talking about the energy here that comes with the youth. The word actually means this juvenile thing. This energy. Hey, you know, it's interesting. This is an unofficial study. They did kind of a thing with kids and athletes. They took some of the athletes and like some of the crawler, toddler kids, they put them so that the athlete would mimic the motions and do all this, and it wore the athlete out. Had a hard time keeping up because the kids are... You have a kid like that? Seen a kid like that? Ever been in Sunday school nursery with a kid like that? Yeah. Wore him out. Wore him out. Huh. And even the youth faint. I've seen him crash too. One yesterday, Isaiah was at our house and on the couch for hours. Shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall fall exalted. Exhausted, the athletes, but they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what this is? This is soul restoring. This is being renewed in strength. This is the refreshment that comes from waiting on the Lord. That doesn't mean sitting around on your hands. It means joining Him in what He's doing, seeing and joining Him in what He's doing. Yeah, but I'm old and I get tired. I don't see where this is at. Hey, let me add one more passage for you here then. We do not lose heart, though the outer man is wasting away. Say this with me. Our inner man is renewed day by day. We did this with song before, haven't we? Doesn't that song kind of play in your head? That's a good thing, you know. Have you ever seen a hearse go by? It makes you feel like you're... You know that song? Though our outer man is wasting away, the inner man... Yeah, that's it. That's it. This is the refreshing of the Lord. It just doesn't do what it used to. Hey, that's coming, whether it's already come to you or not. But there's this renewing, this refreshing from the Lord. Better than energy drinks. Better than energy drinks. So, my point, the Lord is really into refreshments. He is. Refreshment from the presence of the Lord. And did you notice how this went together? Note this thing that is connected in these verses. That I may come to you with the joy, or with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. You and me. Did you see what was connected in here? Here's another one. Therefore, we have been comforted in your encouragement, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. We have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. Did you notice a connection there? Did you notice a connection? There's a connection here with joy and refreshment. I want you to know what I'm after this morning. I'm after what Philemon talks about here. Refresh my heart in the Lord. The hearts of the saints being refreshed. I'm after that. I'm after that this morning. And I want you to know it's connected to your joy. It's connected with your joy. They are not like one before the other or the other before the one. It's like they're connected. Joy with refreshment. It's connected. Let me tell you what I'm after. I'm after your refreshment in connection with joy for the work of the upgrade. That's what I'm after. It's where I'm going. That you will take joy in this. Because there will be some things that become a duty to carry, a commitment to fulfill, a life to lead. And your joy and refreshment will come together. Your joy, taking joy in them, will come with refreshment to your life. Okay. I need to demonstrate that. If that's really what I'm after for you to experience, then I need to demonstrate that. Right? I mean, who am I? Right. Who am I? But who's the Lord? And if I demonstrate it from the Lord, then where are we? But to do this, to take joy and refreshment together, even when it gets hard. Amen? Okay, I'll take the challenge. Here we go. We started this last week by looking at John chapter 15, verse 11. That's where I'm going to ask you to turn. John chapter 15, verse 11. In that context, Jesus is near the end of his life. He knows the cross is looming large. As a matter of fact, he's communicating that to them. In a moment, Bob's going to share with us a story where Jesus communicates that very thing to them. This is coming near, and he wants to say to them final words of instruction, giving them direction and help for what's coming down. That's what he's up to here. That's where Jesus is in this passage we look at. In John chapter 15, verse 11, we noted where he said this, Jesus' statement of purpose. These things I say to you. What things? The things we're going to focus on. These things I say to you, verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 11. Statement of purpose, twice given. That my joy may be in you. My joy that I have and I derive may be in you. You know, it's very, very interesting that even in the hard things, Jesus sought and obtained joy. True? We demonstrated that last week. Two statements of purpose, that my joy may be in you, your joy full. You can get that online from last week. Jesus lived for joy as we are to live for it. This is demonstrated from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. When the hardest thing ever, what is the hardest thing ever that any person has ever done? What is the hardest thing ever that any person has ever done? I'll tell you what it is. It's bearing the wrath of God for the sin of every human being. That is the hardest thing ever. You agree with that? What could be harder than that? I mean, it would be hard to die, but it's harder to die when you're bearing the sin of everybody. That is the hardest thing ever. And Jesus, he said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy, he was living for the joy, the enjoyment, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of God. And we are to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, so we don't grow weary in what we have to carry that may be a little hard and lose heart. Demo. Jesus lived for the joy. What joy? The joy of Psalm 22 that he describes very fully there. I don't want to take time to do this. Let me just tell you verse 21, after describing the experience of Jesus on the cross in what is called a fully messianic psalm. It is a psalm about Jesus on the cross. It's what it is. It is a prophetic song, and Jesus knew it, and he quoted it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my groaning? Right through, describes crucifixion from the point of view of the one being crucified, namely the Messiah, Jesus. And for the joy, this thing turns at verse 21, where he talks about the joy of fellowship with you. The redeemed, the ones he rescued for eternity. He lived for the joy, even in the hard. Living for the joy keeps a happy heart, even in the hard. Even in the hard. Even in the weary. Even in the duty. Even in the demanding. Even in the responsibility. Even when you don't feel like it. Let this cup pass from me. Not my will be done, but yours be done. Not my will, yours be done. Do you get the picture of him there? Good. That is him. That is him. and he's living for the joy. And we are to do likewise, living for the joy. But you know that because that's basically what I covered last week. Here, let's do this. The joy Jesus has and gives comes in a context. My joy in you. My joy in you. You know, Jesus had it in the experience of life. In Luke chapter 10, at about verse 20 through 24, 21 through 24, Jesus is talking with his disciples. His disciples come back after experience of going out and talking for him. The 70 return to him. And they saw, wow, they come back and they have joy. There is joy. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the book of heaven. Rejoice in that. And then, immediately he turns and he says, Father, the Bible says he rejoiced and he says, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to babes. Because it's your will. And he goes on and describes his will. Do you know what the context here? Besides the 70 returning, there is the woe to Jerusalem because they would not hear. They wouldn't. And Jesus derives joy even in this hard. The disciples going forward and accomplishing, but there was hard. And Jesus derives joy in that God is working his purpose. Luke chapter 10, verses 20, 21 through 24. Check it out. Check it out. It's what he does. He derives that joy. Joy that Jesus had, Luke 10, and that he gives. My joy in you, your joy full. Those two statements of purpose, why he's saying these things, is in context. Life is lived in a context, right? True or false? How many of you like having family? Yeah, it kind of gives context, doesn't it? Without them, you're by yourself. And it's nice to be by yourself sometimes. That's a good context. But, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. Right? So, here, I will do this. It gives context. People are context. Events are context. Situation is context. We live life in context. We do. We live life. We have a family event that's coming on this evening, and I'm kind of looking forward to this, even though it's going to be a late night. Context. Context. So, there's a context here. There's the events that are happening. People, context, events. In John 15, there's the context. Jesus, as I told you, knows that his hour is coming. He knows. He draws his disciples around him and he begins to talk to them. I want you to turn with me to John 15 to pick up context. The context of his experience, they are leaving the upper room. Let your eyes slide up to chapter 14, verse 31. But as the Father has commanded me, so that the world would know that I love the Father, rise, let us go from here. He's leaving the upper room. He's headed to Gethsemane. He's headed to his betrayal. He's headed to his arrest. He's headed to healing the ear of the servant. He's headed to that. That's where he's going. He rise, he says, let us go. And they start to travel. That's the context. Who's with him? Judas is gone. He's already gone out to betray him. It's the 11, and they're traveling together. You can map the route that he takes on the streets from Jerusalem from what appears to be the upper room, but we know where Gethsemane is, and you can map the route of him going through Jerusalem. And that's where he's traveling. And as he travels, he begins to talk to them about this thing of being a vine. Look at what he says, verse 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Slide down to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay, he's using imagery here. Okay, what is the relationship of branches to a vine? What's the relationship? Huh? Yeah, they're kind of make it up, don't they? They're just kind of like connected, because if you're a branch that's not in the vine, then that's bad news, because you don't have life. You're not connected. The relationship of a branch to the vine is that they make it up, right? Other than being a root and some branch, I did say this before, that's what a vine is just branches. But there was a guy who was a vine dresser, and he came up to me and he said, you know, my father used to raise grapes, and he said, and so I was corrected. There is something more. There is some kind of a stem thing that I don't know about. But for the most part, a vine is the branches, right? They are kind of like one thing connected together. True? That's the relationship. Jesus said this, I'm the vine. I'm the root, I'm the stem, and I'm the branches with you. You make up the branches. I'm the whole thing. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Guess whose hand is in on this? My Father. He's the one that is pruning the branches. He's the one that's attending to them, you know, kind of clipping off the sucker branches. And when it's, well, here, let him describe it better than me. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He's the vine dresser. He's the one that's taking care of this vine. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, it's not connected, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it. He comes along and he makes it better. He cleans it up. He cuts away stuff that is unproductive, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Good. You're washed. You have been cleansed because I gave you the truth. You received it. You're trusting me. And by trusting in Christ, you are saved. You are clean. He's got that. Okay? Now, from this point, he's going to tell us over and over and over and over and over what is to be the context of our life. It's going to tell, okay? See if you can pick it up, what he's hitting on here, okay? See if you can pick it up. I'll just kind of go through it and watch for a reoccurring theme. Now, question. Why does God repeat himself? What's the deal? Can't you come up with anything new? Is that the deal? No, that's not the deal. It's because it's important. It's because this is a major key. And if he says it once, then we're responsible. If he says it twice, we really need to perk up. But, well, watch how many times he says this and get the picture as to how vital this thing is. Are you with me so far? Good. Here he goes. Starting off, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, is he that bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch. He withers. He's a sucker branch. He's not genuine. And the branches are gathered and are thrown into the fire and they're burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept the Father's commandments and I abide in hubs. These things I'm telling you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What's he telling us? Abide! 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 Would you get that? I think I heard that. Yeah, how many times did he say it? A lot. 10? You count them? I was going to go through and count them. She counted them. She's ahead of me. 10 times! 10 times! Whew. Whoa. So now what do you mean, Lord? So the obvious question is, what do I do to abide? Context here is abiding. In being a disciple, in producing fruit, it is essential that you abide. And that by abiding, Jesus says, my joy's in you, your joy's full. That's why I've told you this, man. That's why I've told you. These things I've said, that my joy will be in you and that your joy will be full. What? Abiding. Abiding. Okay. What do you mean? Back on May 26th, 1979, my life changed drastically because I started to abide with someone. It was the day I said, I do. And Alita and I have just kind of hung out together ever since. Whatever came. And you know what came? Nate and Laura and John and Josh and Kaylee and Ellie and Michelle. And we all have abided together. We just settled down and we lived life together. Now, like the scriptures have said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one. So, I left mom and pop in my thinking as well as in my presence, and we cleaved, hung together. And then the kids came, and some of them have had to leave in their mind as well as in their presence, and they go abide. And they abide and they settle down and they live with, which means you take the other person into consideration. There is this interaction of hearing them, communicating with them. Now, being a counselor, I sometimes encounter how that abiding in regards to communicating gets some jams sometimes. Some jam circuits. And the solution isn't to stop abiding. The solution is to learn how to abide. To stop being so self-focused that you begin to look to abiding with somebody else. And who does that come from? The man or the wife? Who? Both. Both. You're the leader, buddy. You're the head of this. You're the spearhead that sees that it happens. And if love goes out of the marriage, it's on you, buddy, because you're the spearhead and you need to bring it back. This is the thing. of abiding. Just means to settle down, to live with. And Jesus is saying, live with me. You're clean because of what I've said and you've bought. Now live with me. Live with me. And here's how. If my words abide in you, and you abide in me. Did you get this? Here, we stay abiding, living together by hearing. Hearing Him. Have you ever heard the Lord and you say, oh my, this is a little out of kilter in my life. There is like something in this closet that He's wanting to get to. This is out of, you had that experience? Good! That is the abiding part of it, because He prunes us. His Father does that when we're abiding with the Son, when we're interacting with Him like that. It's the pruning thing. The pruning thing. Wow, that, I ought to make some kind of a new organization that we can put out, a new ministry, the pruning thing. Doesn't it have a ring to it? The pruning thing. Wow. That just came to me right now. It's the pruning thing that He's doing. And look at what He says here. John 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There is communication going the other way. There is this talking to Him. Abide. Him talking to you. You talking to Him. It's abide. And it needs to be big. 10 times bigger than important. Because if He says it once, it's important. 10 times bigger than important. Him talking to me. Me talking to Him. Ask whatever you want. By this is my Father glorified, verse 8, that you bear much fruit and so you prove to be my disciples. You are learning. You are following. You are producing fruit as a disciple. My joy in you, your joy full. That's why I'm saying these things. Now, that's the context and the content of what Jesus said about joy. Now, Jesus gives us full joy instructions right here in this situation. They're leaving. He tells them about the vine. And then He says, hey, I know this thing about living with me. You know this thing about living with me? I'm not going to be here. Live with me. I'm not going to be here. Well, for a little while. And then a little while. Now, Bob's got a story. You ready, Bob? And Bob's got a story about Jesus telling us this. This isn't Bob's story. This is Jesus' story through Bob.
This is taken from John chapter 16, verse 16 through 24. And Jesus, being the Son of a living, all-knowing God, and being God Himself, is talking to His disciples. And He tells them, He says, in a little while, you're not going to see me. And then in a little while, you will see me. And the disciples, they started talking amongst each other, and they were wondering, what is He talking about? We don't understand what He's saying. So Jesus, being who He was, He knew that they were wondering this. So he tells them, he says the same thing again. He says, in a little while, you won't see me, and then in a little while, you will see me. Excuse me. And so anyhow, then he goes on and he says that, he says, you're going to be grieving, and but your grief will turn to joy. He said the world will, they're not going to, you know, they don't want anything to do with him. So, but he says that, but your joy will still be there. And so then he goes on to tell about a woman giving birth to a child. He said she goes through a lot of pain. And after the child is born, then the pain is forgotten and there's joy. She has joy in childbirth. And I'm a little bit rusty on this. I should have brought a cheat sheet. But anyhow, he goes on to say that... get a prompt. Yeah. Until now you have asked nothing of me. But he says, I got a little bit ahead of that though. He said that if you ask the Father anything in my name, that I will give you, or he will give you. And, excuse me. And he says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. But ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be complete. On the way into church this morning, I told my wife, I said, you know, I forgot to shave. And she says, that's all right. Everybody knows you're an old man. Said, so everybody knows you're an old man, and us old people, we can get by with things others can't. So, thank you.
I didn't shave this morning either, Bob. Good. Very good. I want you to go to that John chapter 16, which Jesus is giving us in this context. And the point that I'm looking at is at verse 24, where he says this, until now. He's talking about the future things in this relationship. He's talking about being gone, them being sad because they're disconnected from him. He's the vine, I'm the branch, I'm disconnected, I'm sad. Where's the joy? The joy is that he rises again and he appears to them. And there is joy. He says, you're not going to ask me then. And he says, but until now, right up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, verse 24, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Do you see what he's saying here? This abiding thing, even when he is not here in this relationship, it is not like physically like I do with Alita and Kaylee and Ellie and living there, there's still the connection of his word and hearing. There's still the asking. And it is essential for your joy. This is the refreshment that comes from the presence of the Lord. Asking and receiving. You know, yesterday morning, I was laying on the floor doing some exercises. And I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I really haven't drawn close to you this week like I should, like I want to. I have been like so tied up in this or that and doing things for you that I have not. But you say to me, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I confess this, and I just want to talk with you here. And I want you to know, his word to me, my words to him, the refocus on living with him, and the joy, the enjoyment, the delight that comes. Do you have that? Do you find that in biting with him? That you pick up, I'm not as close as I need to be. And you turn. Jesus said, for full joy. Now. It's ready. Now. Until now. You haven't asked. Ask. Draw near. I'll draw near. Receive. Ask. You know, this is not like something Jesus didn't like really mean. Slide down to John chapter 17, because as he comes to this hour when he's leaving, he says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he's lifted his eyes to heaven, verse 1, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You've given him authority over all mankind to give eternal life to whoever you've given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And he goes on and he talks to the Father. He draws near to the Father. He speaks to the Father. Very, very heartfelt things. And now look at verse 13. But now, ready now. It's right now. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The things about abiding, him speaking to you, you responding to him and what he says, and then you speaking to him and you asking, draw near, whatever, and you receiving from him. This is for full joy. Nets crammed full. Smooth sailing over potholes. That's what this is for. And you need it for this journey, because there are hard things and there are wearying things, and that is what life is. I don't want you to grow weary in well-doing, he says, for the joy. It's about praying, asking, receiving now, that it's big, 10 times more than important. And I want you to know this joy and refreshment thing, it does two things. It's from what you do now, and it's from what God does now. First of all, from what you do now, it's the abiding in him. It's his word to you. It's prayer. It leads to fruit. This is a summary statement, and it leads to joy. The refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You're turning to him. You're changing your mind. You're changing your direction. This is the where I'm going to abide. This is where I'm going to live. And there are all kinds of scriptures that demonstrate this. Proverbs, because out of this flows life. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. From what God gives us, we take his wonderful counselor of the Prince of Peace. Biting in him, his word. We have it. We give it. Brings peace. The joy for the just is to do justice in our actions. The kingdom of God, he says. I've come to you that you have joy, me and you together, refreshed. And it's in what God does. Get this. This thing comes in what you do. We're not on a performance thing. God is not going to accept you more because you do this. You will experience joy on the journey because you do this. We're not in a performance thing. God does not accept you because you do this. Christ is why he accepts us. We are fully accepted in Christ. We have everything we need in Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. But it's the joy for the journey. It's the joy for the journey is why we do this. And there is refreshment from the Lord in being his disciple. producing. And it's in what God does, because he does this. You do this, you walk in Christ, and the Spirit. What does the Spirit produce? Love, joy, peace. Whose Spirit produces that? Mine? Do I get this joy because I produce it? Who produces it? God does. It's his fruit. It's my seeking him, experiencing joy in the journey, and it's his fruit. And the scriptures to back that up. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not those refreshments. They're good. They're indications of God's refreshment. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Hey, let me ask you a question. How's your joy? How's your joy? How about when you have a responsibility to go to and it's, these kids that you need to disciple, this D-band that I need to be in on, how's your joy? Where does it go? How you doing? These grandkids to give attention to bring them up with their parents and accentuate. Where's your joy? Here's where it is. And then you produce. And it's not to be accepted by God. It's the joy from the journey. The times of refreshment from the Lord. Hey. Living with the Lord in your life. Listen to some of these. From the Psalms. But let all those who put their trust in you, Lord, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love you be joyful in you. I will show you the path of life, the Lord says. In his presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I will be glad and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy. Let all them shout for joy and be glad who find the favor in his righteous cause. Living with the Lord like this is joy. Okay, question. Did I demo to you? Did I demo to you that there is joy? A joy for carrying the hard based on the scriptures. A joy for committing to a D-band and producing fruit from it in your family, in your life, through the D-band, through the hard thing of the commitment. Did I demo? Some of you are non-committal because that's what you're living, is non-committal. And what I'm calling you to is committal. Committal. Committal to the D-bands, that they succeed and that they spawn new D-bands and thus produce disciples like the Lord intended. And I want you to know the joy in this that you will have and the refreshment in this, in producing fruit and being his disciples, will be in your staying connected. His word to you. Your word to him. Ask, receive. Did I demo? Then I'm calling you. Live with him. Like he says. With joy. And for some of you, it's repent. Repent of your sin and turn to God, and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. It's up to you. Because that's your part. And God's part, guaranteed. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Father in heaven, we commend this to you because it calls for our joy. And we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. name.